Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 12, Behave Yourself. Does Christian conduct matter? Let's look at this quote. Show me your redeemed life, and I might believe in your Redeemer. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul urged us in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world, and especially toward you. And look at Philippians 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. An unswerving, fully committed Christian life is a powerful testimony, earning the respect of believers and non-believers alike. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their way of life, imitate their faith. Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 through 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What do these verses mean about being holy? Just to be sure, this is not about our perfection. God never requires absolute perfect holiness from His children. Rather, it is a change of the direction of our minds and actions that are set apart from the world, shown by our choices and conduct. In Christ, we are holy because He is holy, and our identity is in Him, in His holiness. As born-again Christians, we are continually being sanctified or purified in the ways of God by the power of God. God does His part by developing Christ-like character and conduct in us. We do our part by cautiously choosing godly choices and behavior. God doesn't just magically make us holy, nor do we magically make ourselves perfect. As humans that still sin, we are never going to be perfectly holy in and of ourselves. But rather, in Christ, because of Christ, and through Christ, we hold on to His holiness in our lives. Verse 15 and 16 about being holy is not God giving us a hopeless requirement. Let's look at what the word holy means to God. To be holy literally meant set apart, or to be separate from other religions, other beliefs, other ways of life. It didn't mean holy as in we as humans define it. For Israel in the Old Testament, it was very much about living differently from the other nations around them by their choices, conduct, and behavior. To be holy meant to set themselves apart from the ways of the world or the customs of various religions. To be holy meant to be separate from eating foods offered to idols. To be holy meant to set themselves apart from being like the rebellious and stubborn children that dishonored their parents, and instead showing respect to their parents. To be holy or set apart meant to keep God's commands instead of living a sinful life the way they wanted to. The difference between the holiness commanded in the Old Testament and what it means in the New Testament is that God has already made us holy in Christ. He has already set us apart and saved us. Now he calls us to make choices that reflect who we already are in Christ, who is holy. We do that with our conduct and behavior. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 through 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So in other words, Christians are supposed to change their conduct to fit their identity in Christ, who is holy. As people that are set apart from walking in worldly choices, we can't be okay with our old or new sinful patterns. Rather, we are to separate ourselves from worldly behavior. We are to conduct ourselves in such a way that causes no shame to the gospel of Christ. Does this mean we will never make mistakes and sin? No. We still rely on God's grace and forgiveness as we learn to walk more and more in godly behavior. But I want to make this clear. We are not saved or born again by us being a good person or by our good behavior or our good conduct or our good works. According to the Bible, people can be saved only one way, and that is through Jesus. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And not by our own good behavior, good works, or by being a so-called good person, so as not to boast in ourselves. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This particular podcast is about how we live out our Christianity. It is regarding how we act in a way that represents our Savior so as to honor Him with our choices and conduct. What about our witness to the unsaved because of our Christian behavior? Well, look at how Jesus had such great influence among the lost. It was because his behavior did not include reacting with disgust at their lostness. We too can influence the lost by our Christ-like conduct instead of our expectations of them. Rather, we need to focus on expectations of ourselves in our own conduct as followers of Christ that walk in all of God's ways. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. When we have the me versus them mentality that harshly judges non-Christians, then it gives Christians a bad name. This is not Christian conduct that has influence. Amazingly, Jesus' harshest judgments were made not on the sinners, but on the self-righteous religious people. They were proud of their self-proclaimed godly behavior, but Jesus was disgusted with their hypocrisy of having unloving conduct. Now we're going to do PAT, practical application time. 6 tools to consistent Christian conduct. First tool, know God's word. Second tool, do God's word. Third tool, stand firm on God's word. Fourth tool, surrender to God. Fifth tool, fear the Lord. Sixth tool, character choices. Let's get into more detail about the 6 tools to consistent Christian conduct. First tool, know God's word. It's essential to know God's word if we are going to know how to have godly conduct. Without biblical knowledge, we are not going to understand what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say. When we don't know God's word, then we will conform our conduct toward worldliness instead of godliness. Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." How do we renew our mind so we won't be conformed to worldly conduct? Acts 17, verse 11. "Now these people were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Second tool, do God's word. Knowledge of God's word is not enough. What's essential is that we actually act out the word of God. Hearing about the word of God or knowing about the word of God is not the same as doing the word of God. God commands us to be doers of the word because this is how we live out godly conduct in our choices, in our life, and in our relationships. Furthermore, when we actually are doers of the word of God, this is how we demonstrate our love for God. James 1, verse 22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, otherwise you're deceiving yourselves." John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We also are doers of the word when our conduct is led by the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. "Indeed, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." This is a challenging part of Christian conduct. It's easy to show patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control with a loving attitude toward those who do the same for us. It's not so easy to be a doer of godly conduct to those who scorn our beliefs or show contempt for the Bible or dislike Christians or mean to us. But our witness of the gospel is harmed when we don't live out Christian conduct. The validity of our witness is in how we live our lives. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it does me no good." This is not about guilt or high expectations of ourselves or giving up when we stumble and fail. Rather, it's about growing in the grace God gives us. We just get back up when we fall and try again. We never give up because God never gives up on us. Third tool, stand firm on God's word and thus stand firm in our Christian conduct. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul wrote, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." 2 Peter 3, verse 11. "What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" We cannot stand firm on God's word if we don't have a consistent walk of faith, which comes from being committed to knowing God, loving God, and obeying God. We can't stand firm if we don't consistently pray to God during the day. We can't stand firm if we are always talking to ourselves or everyone else instead of God through prayer. We can't stand firm if we forget what Christ did on a cruel cross for our sins and instead live a life that minimizes His unconditional love for us. We can't stand firm if we don't ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, to teach us, to convict and comfort us. We can't stand firm if we have one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity. Then we are like a person that is tossed to and fro, back and forth, without any stability. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus then said to his disciples, "Anyone who wishes to follow me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." This is the perfect pattern of standing firm in Christian conduct. On the other hand, we can stand firm if we are intentional about doing so as we trust in God to guide us. Just take note of previous tools I mentioned, and then I will be giving you more. Sometimes we need to know what to put off and then what to put on, what to stop doing and then what to start doing, what to let go of and what to hold on to in order to develop Christian conduct or godly behavior. Fourth tool, surrender to God. Ultimately, what is at the core of Christian conduct? It's surrendering our thoughts, words, actions, attitudes, motives, goals, our hearts, our lives, our everything to yielding to God's ways, His word, and His wisdom on how we should behave. We want to surrender to God so that we can live our life with purpose in a dark, deceived world. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by people. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let's look at Jesus and how he surrendered to God. Luke 22, verse 42, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." What is a commitment to surrender to God? It's when we might want something, but instead we surrender to what God wants, just like Jesus did in the above verse. So we are more committed to God than we are committed to ourselves. Surrender means to give in to God as we abandon giving in to ourselves. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 10. "Pray then in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In this verse, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Surrender to God's will and not our own will and wishes. Fifth tool, fear the Lord. One of the best ways to stay Christ-centered with godly behavior that displays our faith is to have the fear of the Lord. Job 28, verse 28. "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding." Proverbs 3, verse 7. "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Psalm 111 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all those who practice it have a good understanding. The fear of the Lord is living a life of wisdom as we understand the continual awareness that God is always watching and evaluating everything we think, say, or do. The fear of the Lord helps us to stop and take note of our behavior, our conduct, our habits, and lifestyle. The fear of the Lord reminds us to assess our choices as we go about our day. Do our choices line up with Christ-like conduct and godly behavior? The fear of the Lord asks, would this please the Lord? Having the fear of the Lord is the intentional, daily realization that we are here on this earth for another day, another week, month, year, however long, we don't know, to be Christians that represent Christ well with our conduct that displays our faith. Yes, even the most devoted will fail at times, but that's not the point. God wants our effort. He wants us to be faithful to Him. He desires we would trust in Him. He will, without fail, help us to continually grow in godliness. Sixth tool, character choices. Character is influenced and developed by our choices. We can't have good conduct if we have bad character. On the other hand, godly character plus godly choices equals godly behavior. It's the Lord's purpose to develop character within us. Character in the believer is a consistent indicator of Jesus in their life. How can we develop godly character? Well, let's look at five ways. One, control your thoughts. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What we think is what will drive our behavior. Therefore, one of the first things we can do to develop godly behavior is to make sure our thoughts are godly. Second, guard your heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. This means our decisions come from what is in our heart. Our decisions are based on our beliefs, which drive our behavior. Therefore, we must watch over our beliefs and make sure we are not deceived. Three, practice Christian virtues. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 6. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, godly behavior, godly conduct. This is saying we need to have diligence in order to grow godly behavior. Four, keep good company. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. This means bad morals bring about bad behavior. Bad company corrupts Christian conduct. Five, set a good example with a godly reputation. Titus 2, verses 7 through 8. In all things, show yourselves to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. See how this verse says, in all things, show yourself an example. It doesn't say we can be a poor example of Christianity by doing only some things that God tells us to do. We don't want to be a part-time good example by obeying just some of God's word, because this also means we are being a part-time bad example. That is terribly confusing to the unsaved and the lost. And plus, it can take weaker Christians down a destructive path. It's quite fine if bad is said about us because we are showing ourselves to be good examples and all the things God defines as godly conduct, and of course with humility. But it is not good if people say bad about us because we are tossing God's ways out of our life and thus not being a good example by our godly conduct. We must keep in mind that even a person with godly character will fail at times, but their character is gauged by general tendencies and not on the basis of a few isolated actions. We must look at the whole of a person's life. For example, King David was a man of good character, although he sinned terribly on occasion. But in all, God said David was a man after God's own heart. This means no matter what was going on in David's life, he always turned his heart back toward God, back toward godly behavior. To balance this out, a Christ-centered life instead of a self-centered life is based on Christian conduct that is centered on our love for God and others. A Christ-centered life is not to be confused with a religion-centered life. The Pharisees in Jesus' day were focused on being good by only obeying the laws of God, but not concentrating on loving others. This is not godly behavior. They ate, drank, and slept the law to prove they were good, at least in their own eyes. They could quickly recite rules, codes, and judgments, but Jesus had harsh rebuke for them because their motives were wrong. Their motives were legalistic and unloving. Therefore, their conduct was not love-centered and Christ-centered. It was all about them being prideful in their fake goodness that didn't include love, which is above all. Matthew 23, verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." Luke 11, verse 42, "But woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay tithes of mint, rue, and every kind of garden herb, and yet you ignore justice and the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." We are to do what God wants us to do, but we don't neglect doing it with love. Christian conduct is not about perfection. It is about progression as God gives us the grace to continually grow in Christ-like behavior. No person has ever lived a perfect life except Jesus. Hebrews 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin." Even those who deeply desire a Christ-centered life will stumble, fall, sin, and make fleshly decisions in moments of weakness. 1 John 1, 8-10, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous so that He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." So there's a process as we confess our sins and turn away from them. This process is called sanctification, by which God makes us more like Jesus. We continually develop more and more godly behavior and Christian conduct throughout our life, always with the help of God. Let's recap the 6 tools to consistent Christian conduct. First tool, know God's word. Second tool, do God's word. Third tool, stand firm on God's word. Fourth tool, surrender to God. Fifth tool, fear the Lord. Sixth tool, character choices. A big thank you to all who listen to this podcast. I surely hope and pray it will help you to live every day in a way that displays your gratitude for all God has done for you. Please subscribe and also share so others can be blessed by the Word of God. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever."